Hey there, podcast listener. Steven here from the podcast you're currently listening to. You ever heard a podcast and think, I can do that? Well, maybe you can, or maybe you can't. Or maybe I can help you get started with it. Hosting is the most expensive cost you'll have in a podcast, and that's why Anchor by Spotify is the easiest way to make a podcast. Really, they have everything you need all in one place. Anchor has tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. With Anchor's hosting, you can distribute your podcast to other listening platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and a whole lot more. And if you think you can do a better job than I, record a podcast right now. There's very low risk involved. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. And best of all, Anchor is free. Download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started today. What's up, my fellow geeks? Steven here for the podcast you're listening to right now. Back in August, I informed you that I lost my internet, which prevented Adam and I from recording new episodes of both The Lazy Geeks and The Away Team. During that time, I have been releasing compilations or throwbacks of older episodes for our respective shows. Now, it took some time, but my internet is back up and running, and for the time being, we're going to record and drop new episodes starting the week of October 3rd, which will kick off our 13th year of The Lazy Geeks as a whole, the 13th season of the original Lazy Geeks podcast, and continue our third season of The Away Team. We will be making some slight changes to the way we do those shows, but it'll be more of what we've been doing for the last 13 years. October kicks off our 101st episode of The Away Team, while The Lazy Geeks hits that 450th episode milestone. Episode 450. Now, we look forward to returning and beginning a new chapter of our online existence. So remember, the new season begins on October 3rd, 2022. So now, enjoy those throwbacks in the meantime.
Captain Archer of the battlecruiser Enterprise.
This is Christopher Pike of the USS Enterprise.
It's Captain James Kirk of the USS Enterprise.
This is Jean-Luc Picard, Captain of the Enterprise.
This is Captain Sisko of the USS Defiant.
Welcome, everybody, to The Away Team, a series that recaps each episode of Star Trek in canonical order with a bit of a twist. I'm Steven Vargas.
I'm Adam Riley.
Welcome, everybody, to The Away Team podcast here on the Lazy Geeks Network. Woo! We've reached episode 4, or if you're watching on the Blu-ray, episode number 1 on disc 2.
on the B-side.
On the B-side. Remember the old DVDs that you had to flip to watch, like the epically long movies? You'd like, flip disc to continue movie. It's like, really? Come on.
I used to hate that. Like, just give me 2 discs. Yeah. Because the flip disc, they'd always get scratched.
Oh, yeah. Because you had to set it down on one side.
Yeah.
So it was going to be one of them sides. So this month's edition is The Last Outpost, episode number 4 or 5. I think it's probably considered 5 of the series, since Encounter at Farpoint is usually considered 2 episodes. But before we get into that, little quick random Star Trek news. Chris Pine and Zachary Quinto have made a deal to star in a 4th Star Trek movie, which I kind of knew was coming, because you're not going to do a trilogy and then revamp it with new actors. Star Trek is one of those franchises that really likes to keep their actors in it. And also the main cast got raises for the 3rd film. And apparently, which was kind of kept quiet,
filming started this last week on the third Star Trek film, which needed to happen if they were going to make their 50th anniversary next month or next year. So that should be interesting. And as Adam said before the podcast, we may be able to start seeing leaked photos, so we'll know what the fuck this movie's about.
Yeah, I don't want the whole plot. I just want to know something.
Yeah.
Well, now that it's filming too, we'll start getting like trailers and stuff like that will start happening.
Yeah.
So
yeah, because we knew this one's completely rewritten, and Simon Pegg was one of the writers for the movie, so that should be good. A true fan in their writing.
And I know, like he's.
I mean, Scotty's going to be a bigger part in it now.
Right.
I know it's all going to hinge on him.
Scotty's the captain all of a sudden. No, I know that, you know, he's known for his comedy, but he is a really talented writer. He's very clever. He brings just the right amount of British clever humor where it doesn't turn off some parts of the audience that just want things to go boom. You know, but I thought what's it called, that zombie movie he did?
Oh, Shaun of the Dead.
That was so brilliant.
Oh yeah,
like the writing in it, you know, it was a silly movie, but the writing was just, well, so great.
He and Edgar Wright co-wrote that Hot Fuzz.
Yeah,
which I love Hot Fuzz too. That's such a funny movie.
Hot Fuzz is hilarious.
I love that one. But yeah, so that should be fun. So we'll actually have probably new stuff to focus on, because all of you guys know Adam and I are Star Trek fans, so you know,
a little bit,
because you know, I'm a Star Wars fan, but I don't have a Star Wars podcast. What does that tell you?
That tells you you're doing something right. That's what it tells you. Well, what would a Star Wars podcast be? There'd only be how many?
There's six movies.
Six movies?
But if we do the Droids cartoon series and the Clone Wars and the really forgettable Ewoks movies and the
Christmas special.
And the hard-to-find Christmas special. You know, that's what we should do. We should do when I have a bootleg of the Christmas special. We should watch the Christmas special and then talk about at Christmas. How's that? Right in time for the new Star Wars movie.
We should do it. I've never seen it.
Oh, believe me, you aren't missing much. But
I heard it was shit. That's what I heard.
Oh, it's so shit.
Is it animated or is it?
No, it's live action. Harrison Ford,
Mark Hamill. So it's extra shit.
B. Arthur's in that.
B. Arthur, that's my dog. I love fucking B. Arthur.
That's my dog.
I love B. Arthur. He's hilarious. Okay. Well, I will watch it. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll do that. Then look for that come Christmas this year. Coming Christmas 2015.
Well, Christmas, we usually do a like shopping thing.
Right.
And I know we'll probably still do that too, so. Which is probably just going to be a bunch of fucking video games this year, to be completely honest.
Since we both got PlayStation 4s and Xbox.
That's all I'm going to ask for. If anyone wants to get me anything for Christmas, maybe gift cards for the Xbox One or PS4, whichever your choice, because it'll matter to me.
By Christmas, we'll be like, yeah, so, yeah, we got 3DSs, and then we got the Wii U's, and we got the Android device, we got Oculus Rift.
I hit up a Goodwill and got an N-Gage. You know, like, I got all that shit set up. It ain't even no thing. I don't even give a fuck, you know? I bought all the working copies of E.T. for Atari that they dug out of the landfill.
Right. Dude, I got this ColecoVision.
I got a Virtual Boy.
Yeah, there you go.
The real grandfather of the Wii.
Yeah, the Virtual Boy.
I got that, you know.
I got Pong.
I got a Sega Genesis, but I got the 32-bit extension that goes on the top. So, like, I'm really ready to go. You know, it's...
See, I got that Xbox 360 with the attachable HD drive. And
I got a Sega CD with that Echo the Dolphin game, which was really the only game that anyone played on the Sega CD.
Echo the Dolphin shit.
I know so much obscure shit.
All right. So,
wait. Another Sega one. The perfect one. Ready?
Ready.
I got a Sega Genesis with the modem attachment so I can I can use the Sega channel.
I haven't heard that in forever, dude.
I win. Not that I was in competition with anybody, right. But I
Well, if you listen to podcast 196, you'll notice that we like having a pissy contest with each other. Yeah. So, all right. So this month's edition, this month's episode is entitled The Last Outpost, episode 5 of season 1. Yes, we're still in season 1.
But in the first, this episode is the first episode in Next Generation that I consider to be a solid, memorable, great episode.
Oh, really?
Yes. Now, I'm not saying it's the best.
I'm calling it great. You called it great.
Okay, good. I'm saying that it's the first episode where it's still cheesy and it still has some silly first season shit in it, but it's moving. It's moving in the right direction. You're seeing, like, and we'll go into it more. I kind of make a few comments throughout the episode, but it was more interesting to me because they at least tried something. Like, I know the Ferengi turned into a completely different thing later on, but at least they tried something instead of just redoing old shit and Tasha Yar episodes.
I think this would have been a little more of a little. I don't know. For me, I think this episode should have probably been one more of first out the gate, because it does make a bunch of, in my opinion, solid season one errors.
Oh, it does. But it's definitely still it's, if you were to watch this and not know what season is, you would know it's season one.
Yeah. And just, you know, instead of having the Naked Now as the second episode, which I always thought was a mistake. And then, of course, the Tasha Yar episode should have just been excised immediately from that. But anyway, the episode summary is, in pursuit of a Ferengi marauder, the Enterprise and its quarry become trapped by a mysterious planet that is draining both ships' energies. So, I guess we go into a couple of little quick behind the scenes, deals.
Yes.
As far as the script and story, Richard Kreisman and Herb Wright's final draft script, the star dates were originally given 41194.6 and 41194.8. The phrase "The Last Outpost" was parodied somewhat in the script to the preeminent episode of Deep Space Nine, The Dogs of War, when Quark claims that his bar will be the last outpost of what made Ferengis great. Coincidentally, that episode suggested Ferengi society was evolving to a more benevolent one, just as Riker suggested it might be in that episode. In this episode.
I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Ferengnar. Ferengnar,
yeah.
Great.
Ferengnar, yeah. Will Wheaton called the Ferengi a total joke until Armin Shimmer repaired much of the damage. He also said that the cast were unhappy with the idiotic behavior of the Ferengi.
As was most people watching.
I know, I watched that and I was like going, oh, thank God they got rid of some of those mannerisms.
Here's a big one, because it's a centerpiece of a lot of episodes. The Master Systems display table, nicknamed the pool table by the production staff, appears for the first time in this episode. That's the big table in engineering. Mm-hmm. Though it still looks very much like its previous appearance in Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home, and not like it appears throughout the rest of the series. They added a lot of detail to it.
Yeah, well, a lot of like what Star Trek The Next Generation, especially because it was new, recycled movie props and sets from,
which is common. You know?
Yeah.
But what they did, I think, was it the second season they did it? But they completely revamped that fucking table, because it doesn't, if you look at the table, if you pause it and really look at it, it doesn't fit the 24th century motif. It looks very 23rd century, you know. As I know what the future holds, but
the handheld energy whip used by the Ferengi in this episode will not be seen again until DS9 Ferengi Love Songs, in which Quark is holding an action figure equipped with a whip. Actual laser whips will not reappear until Enterprise Acquisition. Coincidentally, the last Ferengi episode of Star Trek to be made, albeit the first one chronologically to feature the Ferengi.
Yeah. And then, which one was I going to read? Whatever. also, keep this in mind. Although unaware, Captain Picard
had already encountered a Ferengi ship in 2355 while commanding the USS Stargazer.
Right.
And that is a future episode we'll be doing, and I love that episode.
That was a good episode, yeah.
I love Picard-heavy episodes because I just think he's phenomenal
in right. his
role. But,
the Ferengi Marauder starship has a capability to stretch its next section.
I was just about to read that
one. Yeah. but it only happens in this episode, and perhaps coincidentally, when ship-to-ship visual communications are engaged.
Yeah, I've read different things from different sources over the years on that. Yeah. That it's when they're doing trade runs, they tuck it in, and someone's trying to attack them, they stick it like as a posturing, right. but it really doesn't have any use.
Right.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
But who knows? one of the few times that Data uses a contraction, Captain, this shouldn't be.
Right.
When speaking to Picard, as well as I'm afraid not, when later speaking to Portal 63, this definitely seems like an oversight.
They hadn't established that he can't. I think it's only established when he meets Lore.
Yeah, he still spoke that way. Like when he would speak, he would say I'm not or I am or something like that.
Yeah.
But it was never officially said until he met Lore because Lore was making fun of him.
Right.
He was kind of saying or no, Lore wasn't making fun of him. Data pointed it out.
Right. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was more advanced than him. Because he can use this, but that it's actually reversed. Data thought he was first, and then Lore right, was made. Because Lore was lying to him.
Right.
Which is pretty much all he ever does.
Contagion featured a similar storyline in each episode. Both the Enterprise and a hostile Vestal were disabled by an ancient and mysterious device and accused each other of the responsibility.
So technically, this is another callback to... and the first season is a lot like this. It's another callback to the original series, but I think that it strayed so far away from the Contagion. Well, no,
Contagion is a Next Generation. They did in season 2.
Oh, yeah. What am I thinking of?
I have no idea.
I think I'm thinking about that drunk episode again.
Oh, probably.
I was blending it together. Yeah. Yeah, well, I guess it's just a common trope then if they're doing it again, but whatever.
Right.
I don't know where I was going. Maybe it's late. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
All
right, shall we get into the episode?
Yeah, I'm just quickly scanning this real quick to see if there's something interesting. I do always have to say the Laserdisc catalog number, LV40270-107. That is Pioneer, by the way. I have no idea what that fucking means, but Pioneer is said April 4th, 1991.
All right. If you want to follow along, you can just follow us along on Memory Alpha. Because while we go through the story, we also add a lot of our observations.
Memory Alpha is probably the greatest wiki ever fucking written. I've spent hours on this wiki.
All right. I like to
wick it up on the wiki.
Yeah, I know you do. we start off with the teaser. The Enterprise is following a Ferengi vessel, a suspected Ferengi vessel, because they weren't sure that it was actually a Ferengi vessel in the beginning, I think. Stealing a Federation-owned T9 energy converter from Gamma Tauri 4.
No, they knew it was a Ferengi vessel. They just didn't know anything about the Ferengi.
Oh, right. Yeah,
this because Picard mentions in the beginning that... Not only are they supposed to chase them down to get the converter, but Starfleet Command also said to learn as much as they can possibly learn about the Ferengi.
This mission is also an opportunity to encounter the Ferengi, who's never established visual contact with the Federation. Now, for some reason, when they approach a planet in the Delphi-Audrey system, the Ferengi ship slips out of warp. And so the Enterprise goes immediately to impulse power, and suddenly both ships suffer a huge power surge and damage their engines. One of the things that I thought was kind of interesting was when the Ferengi vessel, you know, lost power, they're like, they're slowing down, you know, they almost acted really smug. Like for a culture that they never really knew, there was no like, oh, cool, you know, what's this about? You know, like Geordi's like, oh, breaks my heart. You know, they were really kind of like, dicky.
And I thought that was weird too, because they literally knew nothing about the friend. All they knew was that they were traitors, right, and they're kind of shady about it. But they didn't know any of their technological advancements. And the only thing they did say, because Data said that they're on par with us technologically, and Picard goes, but not exactly. And then Data's like, well, I mean, Data almost seemed like the only one that made sense. It's like, well, we're probably good in some areas and worse in others.
Yeah, there was that sense of like, we're more evolved. It was like very much a snobbish kind of.
Yeah, and let's keep in mind too, when this episode was written, the Ferengi were originally planned to replace the Klingons as the major adversary of the Federation, and to initially set them up as laughable, isn't really helping.
So they and then the Enterprise finds themselves, they find themselves in like this in a similar situation. The Ferengi actually opens fire on the Enterprise, causing minimal damage. But Picard actually chooses not to return fire, arguing that the Ferengi are just reacting to the pursuit.
And this is another reason why I love this episode. This episode really showcased how the difference between Picard and Kirk, where Picard really does think before he acts. Yeah. He doesn't just jump into action. You know, because there was a few times in this episode where he kind of corrected people like, calm down. You know, you're not thinking things out.
Right. Well, it also comes from the different kind of perspective. It's kind of allegorical to like how we've evolved, supposedly how we evolved as a society to this point. After that, the Enterprise also suffers from power failure and becomes immobilized. Phasers and shields are all offline. Of course, Yar still exuding the power of uselessness.
Dude, as soon as she, and I put it in the notes, as soon as I saw her, I said, damn it, Tasha hasn't left yet. What the fuck is she still doing
here? She's still alive. Worf is irritated because he wants to attack, and the captain, you know, Picard's like, no, we're just going to hang out here and find out what's going on.
In this scene too, there's two things I just want to say. One was the Forge tries too hard. This episode really showcased how they tried to make LaForge do these zany one-liners.
Right.
And he did like three in a row in this one scene. I'm like, dude, seriously. And then I did give some credit to Tasha, because I was like, Tasha with them guns? Because she was ready. Yeah. She's like, guns are already up. Yeah. But then immediately after, she goes, and I put, quoting my show notes, says, they may be turning to fight. Damn it, Tasha. now you're going to say something stupid.
Right. But, I think that this might move into my prejudicial feel of Tasha versus Worf. Because we've, Worf, the all seven seasons, the movies, DS9. You see the way Worf reacts, and you put it in par with the way he is as a character. You're kind of like, yeah, that makes sense. And because we all hate Tasha Yar so much, it's just like
she'll say the same thing. You're like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, she could say like the most like inspiring, dedicated thing, and you're just like, shut up. Why are you still here?
You know what it is too, and somewhere in this episode later on, Worf does a little kind of like a one-off joke. He was talking under his breath. It's rare for Worf to tell a joke or to be funny, but I laughed. Yeah. And I realized then that he has more credibility, not only because of his character, because he's a better actor.
Yeah.
He's just, you enjoy watching him in that role. Because he completely committed to being fucking Klingon.
He's so good as being awkward around humans. Yeah. And just the way he reacts, and it's just, he's great. Michael Dorn is great.
And Tasha looks awkward around humans too, and she's fucking human.
Yeah, I know, right?
Make any damn sense.
And of course,
get her off the show, guys.
Let's start a writing campaign now to get her off the show. We want her off the old episodes too. Digital Probably erase her. Put in Jar Jar Binks for crying out loud. We'll take
That's him. What should have been on the Blu-rays. We removed Tasha Yar from all episodes. I don't even want it to make sense. Like, have people talking to no one. I just don't want her to be
Or there. They're awkwardly cut, like, you know, a random still shot of something, you know?
Every time it's a Tasha has to talk, just randomly cut to fucking, like, Riker putting his foot up on the console and leaning in.
Like that Star Wars, Star Trek animated, where he's just, like, randomly putting his feet everywhere.
Or just cut to Riker like doing that epic stare off, which he does in this episode a million times.
And you can pull it from any episode with the beard or whatever, and it doesn't have to make sense. Like, it's just there.
Different color uniforms. I don't give a fuck. Just perfect do it.
With the bars on the insignia instead of the circle.
No, I want they're on the bridge talking to Tasha, and as soon as it's Tasha's turn, they cut to like Riker in like season 5. He's on a planetary surface.
No, they cut to All Good Things where he's grayed with the beard and he's an admiral.
No, they cut to that episode, and they don't even cut to our Riker. They cut to the other one from the transporter incident.
Thomas.
Yeah, they cut to Thomas Riker.
No, every time they show Tasha, this would be it. This would be perfect. I figured it out. Every time they cut to a shot of Tasha, it's always from Insurrection where the joystick comes up from the ground, and Riker leans in and grabs the control.
Riker's most badass moment.
That's it. Every time it's Tasha, it's just that.
I just want more Riker.
More Riker. Yeah.
No, you know, even less making sense. Every time they're going to cut to Tasha, put T'Pol from Enterprise in.
Oh yeah,
makes sense. You
know, that makes perfect sense. And no one will, and everybody will be like, this episode is great. This is a great episode.
God, this episode really stepped it up. I have a hard on, and I was entertained.
So we cut to we haven't even got out of the teaser yet. We're like 20 minutes in. All right, so then we go to the opening credits, and now we come back in Act One, and now everybody.
Quick, I'm sorry, because this is important for a point that I'm going to make later. Just in case you didn't know, it is pointed out that empaths such as Troy can't read Ferengis. They don't explain this in the show, but they have four lobed brains, so they can't read them. Their brains are too alien.
And yet, at the same time, Troy completely does about face in this, in regards to that.
And that's why I wanted to point it out, because that's what I was going to talk about later on.
So the Enterprise crew thinks, we come back from the credits, the Enterprise crew thinks that they're trapped by the Ferengi, basically, you know, in attempt to, they want to know, you know, what's going on. But Picard calls to engineering, find out they have no communications. Now, Picard starts getting a little irritated at this point.
But that's every season. If he goes like engineering or anybody and they don't answer, he goes, what the fuck? Yeah.
It's like you should just have a meme of like, this bitch. You know, it's just, that's how it should be.
I know these motherfuckers hear me.
And then, of course, you know, they're trying to figure out what's going on. And this is where Troy goes, you know, they may be blocking Troy because she couldn't sense anything.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was in the teaser. That's why I brought it up.
No, it's in this part because she thinks that they're blocking him and utterly points out that she's useless in this episode.
With every other episode.
right. But everybody seems really, really irritated at this point. Riker asks for information about, or Picard asks for information about the Ferengi. And Data's like, we don't have any information except conjecture, which conflict. And then all of a sudden, Riker comes out with, what doesn't conflict? Like,
super hardcore.
And if you look at really quick, Data kind of gives this look of like, first of all, you need to change that tone.
I put in the notes that too, like, it was quote from a quote, I can't even find it now, a quote from fucking Riker when he said that. Oh, there you go. Which reports don't click. Better watch that tone, homie.
See, you know, it would be great if he had that Christopher Walken, like, see, your tone's all wrong.
Data did, like, just for a split second.
Yeah,
Brent Spiner forgot he was an android. Like, he was like, this motherfucker better watch his mouth.
That real quick, it's a really quick glance of like, this motherfucker. It's like, you need to take that bass out of his voice.
Yeah. Don't look at me in that tone, homie.
Data basically establishes what we kind of know them as. It refers to them basically that they're known as traitors and value profit over anything else.
Yeah, they use the term Yankee traitors.
Yeah, of the 18th and 19th century, which I always find funny that every time they try to, you know, explain something, they always use American history.
Well, who's running the show? That's all I'm trying to say. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. It's only because it's obviously because it's an American television show. So if they use obscure to us if they use a reference from like the Ming Dynasty or something, and most Americans aren't going to get it.
What's great is that Riker's went, oh, history of my forebears. They're like, yeah. Really? We need you to tell us that you're American?
Sit your ass down.
You expected like Geordi to just look at him and just go,
no. It's like, and where am I from, motherfucker? Australia.
Yeah, you don't get this from Belgium.
So, all of a sudden, the Forge has a fucking tipped hat on. Like, you got a fucking problem, dude.
but before you better
read a book, motherfucker.
I know. But before this, when Picard finds out, I forgot about this part. Before Picard finds out that when Picard finds out he has no communication with the bridge, he sends Geordi down to the engineering.
Yeah.
To check
where he belongs.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so weird to me when I see him not in fucking engineering.
Yeah. And I'm trying to look to see if they talk about it in here, but it doesn't quite look like they do. When Riker goes to engineering to work with Geordi, Picard starts talking about Yankee traitors and the American flag and then the French flag. And it gets into this kind of pseudo sociological kind of breakdown of how we used flags to represent nations and
to represent, nations when they were competing with each other,
and then
it was turned into a little one-off Data joke where Data mentioned way too many countries.
Right. And then he's like, Data. What I liked was Data like going, but sir, you like, but you started it kind of thing.
He's like, we were talking about the Ferengi. And then he's like, what? Fuck it, man.
Yeah. It's like, and then another quick look of like, this bitch, you know.
Data's thinking to himself, everybody acting real fucking brand new today on the bridge. Sick of his shit.
And it's just kind of funny because, like, to me, that part kind of felt weird. Like, just, like, why were they talking about... And, I mean, it's like, you don't need to expand the dialogue of the Yankee...
Well, it kind of feels like...
They were trying to get too deep, I think, a little bit.
Yeah, well, and they do it in later seasons... Picard always has something intelligent to say. And in later seasons, it feels organic.
Yeah.
You know, he'll tell a little bit of history real quick and it makes sense. But in some of the second season too, it seems just forced. Like, everyone pay attention to Picard. He's intelligent.
Like, we have that
kind of attitude.
It's almost like they're trying to say, like, we need to set ourselves apart from the original series. So we're going to make this more psychological, philosophical. You know, of how much we've advanced. It's like, we don't need to know that much of how you advance. You can show that instead of talking about it.
Meanwhile, there's entire episodes of Star Trek devoted to trading something.
Right, right.
It's not like the act of trade has been abolished.
Exactly. So. And that was the thing. It was like, I was like, well, what's the flags have to do with anything? You know, it was like somebody kind of had...
Well, the worst part, I think the real reason why we dislike this part is because who asked about the colors?
Tasha
in the back. She wasn't even filmed. It was off in the background. You just hear her go, what's the significance of the color? Shut the fuck up, Tasha.
That would have been a perfect moment to cut to Riker grabbing the joystick from Insurrection. Would have been perfect. And then they could have cut to Riker in engineer. Everybody go, how is he in two spots? Who cares?
We're in engineering now. Fucking Riker. That's
exactly.
Actually, Riker is one of the few characters that can be in two places at the same time. Exactly. And we go back to the transporter incident.
Exactly. So now we cut to engineering.
This part was so funny. Yet again, first time we see the pool table, basically. Pool
table, right. Riker and LaForge are trying to figure out a way to break out of this hole that they think they're have by the Ferengi. Now...
So Riker is super frustrated, and this is something that has always been part of his personality. When he feels trapped, he's ready to fucking roll. Like he does. It's just here, it's a little annoying. Like he's acting like a fucking idiot
because he's like telling like what else, you know, what can we do to like Geordi, and Geordi's like, yo, bro, I'm trying to figure this out.
It's like we're two birds in the same basket, man. Exactly. You know, but then he explains it to him.
Right.
And then Riker looks and fucking LaForge looked at him like he was the stupidest person on the planet and goes, we push and they pull.
Yeah.
Like with his hands and everything.
I love the image that they're showing on Alpha, Memory Alpha. They're showing that exact image. He's using his hands. I expected him to pull out a dry erase board and start like putting stick figures up on it to kind of show.
He even did a delayed sir. Like he's like, sir. We push and they pull back with equal force. And it's, sir.
So
looking stupid.
But here's my thing. Why is Geordi figuring this all out? Where's the chief engineer?
There was no one in engineering.
No one. And I'm like, who the fuck is manning the engines?
And out of engineering and the bridge are always the two locations where there are always more than like two people.
Right.
You know, it's kind of an important area. You know, engineering.
Or, you know, the warp cores there, engines, you know.
The thing that could melt down and destroy the ship.
Distributed to everywhere.
Not to mention, we're in a crisis right now where the engines aren't working. Right. No wonder they're not fucking working, because everyone's on a smoke break.
Somebody's out playing Minecraft.
This motherfucker. Playing Jewel Quest on the phone and shit.
Somebody's playing Snake on their Nokia phone. But so we got this part where Geordi comes up with this plan, because every time, you know, they do something, the Ferengi do something with equal force. So Riker comes up with this plan about abruptly jumping to warp and taking the advantage of the slow reaction of the force field, hopefully catching them off guard.
Which was a solid plan, but they were missing a big piece of information of their particular problem.
Right. And it kind of shows how short-sighted they are, that they weren't looking at the whole picture at this point.
Yeah.
But when Geordi gets like uber excited.
It's so funny because the Geordi of the first season is not the Geordi of Next Generation.
Right.
He's just over the fucking top. He says, woo-wee.
Yeah.
And there's two things. First of all, I put in the show notes, I quoted Woo-wee and I put LaForge, bruh, like settle down. But then
here's the line. Cause they have it as memorable quotes. Riker says, what's our acceleration delay between slow reverse impulse and top warp speed? And then Geordi replies, well, it's 300. I see where you're going. We shift down, then kick it hard into warp 9. Yeah. Come back fighting. Woo-wee. And you're like, what the fuck, dude?
By the way, his behavior was vaguely racist. Think about it.
Yeah, right?
And they did that shit back then, too, where the black person was always the more animated of the group.
Right. But the funny thing was, is Riker goes, okay, get on it. Geordi gives the thumbs up.
He literally turned around just to thumb up. Just bam.
He turned around, gave the thumbs up, and then told the white dude, this is what I need you to do.
Yeah.
And I was like, did he thumbs up the dude?
Yeah, the person who was suddenly there.
Yeah.
but another thing, and this is kind of nitpicky, and I'm going to reference Voyager for this one. He says shift down and kick it into high gear, which is obviously a reference to a vehicle, like a car. Then the Voyager episode where they found Amelia Earhart.
Right.
No one knew what a fucking car was. They were like, what is this thing? The only person who knew was Paris, because for some fucking reason, someone had to know. You know, but
right.
So I'm sitting there like, why would you use that particular euphemism? You don't know what the fuck you're talking about. I don't know.
So, yeah. So, Picard's still trying to negotiate or, you know, talk with the Ferengi.
We're back to the bridge now.
Back to the bridge. Picard's trying
to. There's a lot of bouncing around in this episode.
Yeah, and then the interaction between the Ferengi and Picard was a little weird the way that it was cut. But anyway, Picard's still trying to hail them, not getting an answer. So Riker and Geordi come back up there, and they're like, "Okay, you know, Picard knows the plan, apparently. And Picard tells him, basically, that this better work.
Yeah.
And that he, you know, and Worf is kind of a little pissed off because they're, like, retreating. And, you know...
Another Picard word of wisdom was shared, right. which is true.
Right.
You know, but
the best way to fight is not be there.
No, he said that he's, Worf said, there's no shame in losing in battle to a formidable, to a worthy opponent.
Right.
And then Picard was quick to say, and there's no shame in making like a tactical retreat.
Right.
Which was kind of just showing off the difference between the Klingon mindset.
And I wrote nothing shameful in being weird. but, but you know, so because I remember he said something to Riker because they remember they said Sinsu. I'm so glad they're still teaching Sinsu in the academy, and he said the best way to fight is not be there. So, Picard, who apparently knows the plan that's going on, tells Geordi this better work. Like he's gonna kick him out of airlock if it doesn't, or whatever, or if this doesn't work, you're gonna walk around for 3 days without your visor. You know?
Real quick, you're going to catch that ass whooping. If this shit doesn't work.
So they shifted hard. They jump to warp and they don't get anywhere.
No. And this is all part. They're not realizing something, which Troy, of all fucking people.
Right.
Suddenly we notice she's in the room.
Right.
And she stands up and goes, we've been spending so much time focusing on the Ferengi that no one has paid attention to the planet. Now, and Steve pointed this out. I'm going to let you say it, actually, because it was so funny.
Because keep in mind that, you know, it's the first time she makes some kind of sense. But just before that happens, somebody starts running through the computer records.
Yeah.
So the computer, somebody's accessed them, unknown.
Which they assume it's the Ferengi.
Exactly. They assume it's the Ferengi. So they just keep going. They're going through it. So they start thinking, oh my God, the Ferengi are all powerful, what have you. But Troy makes the state, calls everybody's attention, says, I think we're not focusing on the planet. Everybody kind of looks at her. And it's the one moment that we realize, oh wow, she's saying something that actually makes sense. So Picard goes and asks for a meeting in the conference room and completely negates the bitch.
They didn't talk about the planet at all. They didn't
talk about the planet at fucking all.
And it's funny because when she said her, you know, it was her moment. Like she got up from filing her nails and and she goes, the planet. And everyone kind of gave her that. You know when someone says something and they're not really part of the conversation?
Right.
It doesn't matter if it makes you give them that glazed over look. And then you just carry on with what you were doing.
So right after that, he goes, okay, I'm going to go. He goes, let's go to the observation lounge. And they go in there and they talk about nothing that Troy said. Like they start talking about, it becomes a dick wagging contest. And it's like, you know, we need plans. And this is Picard. Picard's great at this, especially in season one. I need plans. We need solutions. Everybody gives him offers a plan, and he shoots them all down. And then he.
I love LaForge when they get to LaForge, George. He just shakes
shrugs. He shoulder shrugs like he ain't got shit. Like again, you know.
I don't know, dude.
Worf is like, you know, we need to fight, and then Yar comes in. Insert Riker grabbing the joystick, and then you know he's like, you know. Ill-advised, and you know we don't want to start a war, and it's not even Geordi's face; it's Geordi's back. He's leaning against the table. He's not looking at anybody. He's looking down,
barely the side of his face, because he's looking over at Picard.
He's leaning against the table. Picard comes up next to him
with his arms crossed.
With his arms crossed, looks down at Geordi and goes, "Suggestions?" And then Geordi just shrugs. Like he's just a shoulder shrug.
Instantly the coolest motherfucker in the room. He's just like,
it's like it's an audible.
The only problem I had with that was why would they even have him not say anything?
Right.
Like why would they make a point to say LaForge doesn't know what the fuck's going on?
Right.
It doesn't make any sense to me. Like I would expect him to say something pertaining to his role,
right?
But is what was he before engineering. Like, what was his station?
He was the well.
They shared with Worf.
Well, no, he was not ops. Navigator. He was Khan.
Navigator. Yeah. So he should say something.
Because everybody
about...
made a joke about the blind man flying the ship. That was the joke. Yeah.
He should say something about his reference his previous plan, and maybe that he should have been the one that figured it out.
Yeah.
If you really think about it, he should have been, my plan should have worked. So there's something else going on.
Right. There should have been something else that he was just like, yeah, but there's like he used so much of his energy to do the woo, you know, and the thumbs up bit that he just had nothing. He was done.
I would have laughed if he gave Picard a thumbs down. I would have been like, that's too much.
I would have been like, done. The episode should just end there. That
I would have fucking paused it and ran around the office like,
I mean, because that was the thing. And then, you know, and I wrote this in my notes. After Troy mentions the planet, they still forget the planet.
I know.
Like, there's not one mention about the planet. It almost seems like that was a pickup shot that they just decided not to go anywhere. Like, well, we have an extra 10 seconds in the episode, so let's give Troy something to say.
No, you know what it really felt like is that Troy's the hot chick,
right?
So let's have her stand up real quick.
Yeah, and if there were GIFs back in the 80s, there would have been GIFs.
Yeah,
I'm telling you.
Yeah, it's and believe me, she was smoking hot. Oh, yeah. Back then, like, but I forgot because I'm so used to seeing her at like cons and stuff, and she's not ugly, but she's older. You know what I mean? But man, back then, ooh-wee is right, LaForge.
Thumbs up, right? But so after that conversation, where nobody's out of ideas, even Geordi's just, you know. And everybody completely, like Troy said something, and then everybody was kind of like, did you hear that? Nah, okay. And they just keep going with their lives. Picard decides to surrender. Yeah. He decides to ask the Ferengi for their terms of surrender, which I thought was a little quick, in my opinion. Like,
well, I mean, now, let's be specific. I got to defend my man on this, right?
It's he twice didn't... in one season. He's already...
Wait a minute.
Surrender twice in one season.
Wait a minute. He didn't surrender.
He was asking.
This is referencing something else Troy said in the meeting, and they actually listened to her this time. Troy said, maybe, or she said, we need to communicate. Picard says, we've tried that. They don't answer. And he looked real perturbed too. He's like, right. We tried already. Bitch. Yeah. You know,
we haven't said, you were there. We haven't said anything for them to worthless answering.
We haven't said anything they want to hear.
Right.
So Picard went out and he said, he would like to hear their terms, but he never said I surrender.
Right.
He's very slick. You gotta pay. Picard does that shit though all through the fucking series. He'll word things in a very specific way, and then you're like, oh wait, he didn't, motherfucker. Because I thought he surrendered. When I first saw that episode, I thought the same thing. This motherfucker's surrendering. Like, he doesn't give a shit, you know, whatever. And then as I got older, I'm rewatching it for the millionth time. I've seen this episode 1,000 times. And I'm like,
it's 999 times too many.
How dare you? How dare you? That's what I have to say about that. Where are we at? I want to say something.
I want to say something.
Episode, oh yeah, I said episode is a good example of how Picard thinks before he acts. And I think they're really trying to point that out. And about how he's in the, and he does do that all the time where he goes, suggestions. And then he'll shoot most of them down or he doesn't say anything.
Right. Geordi just shrugs.
Geordi shrugs. I think that he's more like, it's more of a setup for the show and for the audience. Like, these are all the options we have.
Right.
But Picard's the smartest person in the room. Right. So everyone's just going to do what he does.
Yeah.
You know, I think they just do it that way, but it always plays out to be extremely funny.
Yeah.
Like, why are you even asking? It's like, you're just,
Picard, I'm just killing time right here.
Picard might as well walk into the conference room after everyone's already sitting down, slap his dick on the table and it'd be like, suggestions, and then no one says shit. Oh, everyone shrugs.
What he should do is walk into the conference room, sit down, look at everyone. And you notice in the first season, the first couple episodes, nobody sits at the table.
No, they
that
all
happens
stand
later on. That happens later on where you see.
I noticed that the whole attitude, like, and even in this episode where you had LaForge and Data were whispering to each other. It was very relaxed. Like, yeah. Everybody was, they weren't acting like they were part of a fucking official anything.
Yeah.
You know, and that, they cleaned that up later on, too. And I'm kind of happy they did, because they're not on a cruise.
Right. Yeah. But remember, they're sitting on recliners.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, in straight chill bag. In season three, was it?
You see Data light up a fucking square. He's,
fuck. He's got a cup holder right next to him on the chair and shit.
He's got a big gulp.
Intergalactic 7-Eleven on the cup.
He's winking at bitches.
But was it season two or three? But one of those where they suddenly turned it into actual chairs.
Yeah.
But anyway,
I think it was the beginning of the third season. That's the same time when the uniforms changed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It got a little more military,
more comfortable for them, which we didn't notice as as audience.
But I always liked it, because I'm always used to Riker standing up and doing the tug on the shirt. You know, yeah. I'm used to that.
Riker and Picard, they both would do that.
Yeah.
And that's the later one. It became a two-piece.
And then Worf would get up and he'd just a crotch. You know,
and he had to grab from the knee. Yeah.
When he was adjusting his boot, it was his dick. That's just what we're saying. That's what
he only has one leg.
Yeah.
He always brings his bat left to battle.
All right. So. Now they request the presence for their terms. End of act one. Now we're act two. Jesus, we've only made it to act two. We're like almost an hour in and we made it to act two. Mm-hmm. So we finally get a message from Daemon Tarr, who replies that they accept their surrender.
Daemon, by the way, means captain.
Yeah.
For those that don't know, because I've talked to a lot of people that go, why are there so many Ferengis? Their first name's Daemon. I'm like, fucking dumbass.
he's like, he accepted their terms of surrender, and you know, he was surprised that they were ready to surrender, but not, you know, unconditional surrender. And he said that they would only take unconditional surrender. And this was the moment that Picard realized bullshit. That they were, you know,
yeah, that they're playing
the game. That they're playing the game, and that they're facing the same problem. And it was instant. There was no moment like Picard, like, I see what's going on. It was immediately like, they're into the same thing as we are. Like, wow, you deduced that pretty quickly.
Even though Troy already told you about 15 minutes ago.
I know. Even though Troy told you about that in the last act, you know, it was one of those, oh, the woman says something, you ignore it, then you suddenly reinterpret it as your plan, and then suddenly it's like, everybody's like, oh, great, Captain, great job, Captain. So I sit there like, this motherfucker.
Behind every great man, Steve.
Behind every great man, right.
And they do have a moment, I had a moment when I'm watching it going, wait, who's the bad guy? Because they keep the Ferengi think the Federation are doing something. The Federation thinks the Ferengi's doing something, and neither of them are doing anything.
Right.
So the audience is sitting there going, "Who the fuck is the bad guy?"
So the Ferengi interpret that the Federation is doing this, so they were willing to surrender. Yeah,
they misinterpreted what Picard said originally,
right?
Thinking that he was asking
for their surrender.
For their surrender,
and
yeah. It was a weird moment. It was it was well done, but it was weird because it was funny.
Yeah. So he was willing to give the energy converter back and offer the lives of his second officers.
And I forgot that part.
Yeah, because remember he was like, it is custom in the Ferengi to give up the lives of their second officers, and that's when Data leans over and goes, it is a good thing that Starfleet does not have that sort of thing for its second officers. So, now this is a weird moment where it immediately cuts away from the conversation to Picard having another meeting with his senior staff.
Yeah, I thought that was weird too, because it's really whenever they're going into the conference room, not the conference room, the observation room.
Yeah, the observation
room. Yeah, it's always meeting or let's talk about it. Picard always sets it up.
Yeah. And obviously they have to set that there's children on board the Enterprise. So when they go in there, these two kids are playing with the models of the Enterprise on there, and Riker knows every kid. He's probably fathered every kid on that Enterprise, is what I'm assuming. Because there's a white kid and a black kid on there, and he's probably fathered both of them. Who knows?
Now maybe LaForge was getting it in, dude. I mean,
yeah, I mean, with that thumbs up, he probably got a lot of girls.
He might not be able
every to time see. He left a every time he left a female's quarters, he gave the thumbs up right to anybody walking by.
He might not be able to see, but they can see. That's all I'm trying to say.
They don't need to see; they need to feel. That's right. So they meet in the observation lounge, and it's Geordi, Data, Riker, and Picard. Now, of course, the kids had to introduce this little gimmick, and it's the sole reason why the kids were even in there. Because Picard
doesn't deal with children well.
No. You forgot the little toy that Data plays with.
Oh yeah, and that's one of the most famous scenes in Star Trek. is the Chinese finger trap scene with Data.
Yeah, so they...
He's so fucking intelligent, he can't figure out how to get out of a Chinese
finger trap. I know, right? I was going to get to that. Like, so they meet in there to now finally talk about the planet. And, but before getting into that, Data starts talking, but he ends up getting his fingers caught in the aforementioned Chinese finger trap. Yet, as he's trying to discuss, Picard's like, what's going on? He's like, I seem to be trapped. And he's like, well, get untrapped. You know, Picard's very, very testy at this point.
He's always been like that, though.
Writing up into a spot that's making him very irritable. Now, this is where Data goes, he can't. He can't figure it out. He's a fucking computer. All of this stuff that he doesn't know, the ancient Chinese finger trap.
I was thinking, yeah, he should know. Yeah. But I was thinking about
here
this.
Here comes Adam to save the day.
No. Fuck you. This is a long time ago that I was thinking about it. And I still blame the writers for not fleshing this out. But I kind of think the Chinese finger trap had more of a purpose if they would have made it that way. Because the whole point of a Chinese finger trap is you're not slowing down to think things through.
Right, you're pulling.
You're trying to use too much force, and you're not thinking. So, what have they been doing all through the first fucking part of the show?
Right.
They're not thinking. They're just doing. They keep going, thinking of what's in front of them and not the big picture. So, I think that was what that was supposed to be, but the writers didn't. It just came off as a little gimmick to laugh at Data. I don't know. I see a little too deeply into these episodes sometimes. I have a smoking pipe and a nice jacket on.
So after Picard goes and gets... This is where it gets weird, too. Picard gets Data's fingers out of the Chinese finger trap. And Geordi goes, my hero.
Yeah.
I
think they wanted Geordi to be the funny man in the beginning, and then I'm happy they didn't.
It's like, no, there's being a funny man, and there's just forcing it. None of it felt organic. There was so much they were trying to show that they were so far advanced from where we are now, but then they threw these cheesy jokes that we use in the 80s.
These 20th century jokes.
Yeah, that it was like, what are you doing? And Geordi says, and Riker smiles the first time he gets it, you know, gets that pole out of his ass and actually kind of laughs a little bit.
By the way, Riker is not standing. He's got one foot up on the fucking thing.
Yeah, Riker's leaning in because Riker does not know how to stand.
Yes.
And so, so Data gets to the planet. Basically saying that the translation for this system was called the Takan Empire, an ancient and powerful space federation that existed over a half a million years in the past and was now extinct because the star in this sector of planets went supernova.
Now, there's a lot of there's a lot of loopholes in that explanation because if you're a big Star Trek fan and you've seen it isn't 1991 and you know, you've seen a bunch of them, you understand what he says, but the way he explains it, it's, I mean, obviously the Takana power is so powerful they could move stars, right, and they collected everything into one bunch and then a supernova happened and blew everything up,
right?
But I feel that most that went over most people's head, like they didn't, I don't know, it was weird.
It seemed just basically like the tachyon explanation.
Yeah, like just, you know, they could move stars.
Yeah.
You know, move on.
By the way, great CG when it showed the planet and the Enterprise and the Ferengi Marauder with that little...
That actually was really good for the time.
But it looks so funny. Like, it obviously it wasn't to scale because the Enterprise and the Marauder looked like it could occupy...
Is
like
the Enterprise the size of America?
I know.
Jesus.
But the funny thing was like, you see the ships and you see this, like, weird little, like... Like, yeah, surrounding them, and you're just like
a lightning bolt.
Yeah, you're just like, wow, this was drawn by the guy that did Garfield, I'm assuming. But I wrote it was like, ew, nice CG. It was
like, I had a super nerdy moment too because Picard says he's never heard of the Takan Empire.
Oh, right.
And I was like, bullshit. And
that's then I what go, I said wait. Too. I was like,
oh wait, his archaeology hobby has not yet been established.
Right. He's this guy is
adjust glasses.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking that too. Like, well, wait, aren't you like the guy that knows like all these ancient species and stuff?
Yeah,
like
in later seasons, he always knows. It doesn't matter where they are in the galaxy.
Exactly.
He knows about some ancient civilization.
Picard adjusts nerd glasses. Yeah. So at this point, I really wish they would have used stellar. I really wish at this point they would have like. And mention a stellar cartography, because stellar cartography was never mentioned until Generations.
Yeah.
And then suddenly we have this room that shows everything. It's like, really? Where the fuck has it been for like 7 years?
Well, that CGI was pretty bad. And I think they even knew that, because after that,
you never
they
did that
really anymore. Stopped doing that. They just went to the screen.
Exactly. They went to the monitors and would see, you know, their fresh windows.
I think someone was just showing off in season one. Look what we can do. Yeah, we can see.
Yeah, impressive.
Thanks for tuning in. You've ditched the ads and would like to stay independent. We can only do that with your support. If you would like to donate to make this podcast and all the shows on the Lazy Geeks Network self-sustaining, you can go to thelazygeeks.com and click on the donate button.
And if you can't help us out monetarily, we get it. But you can also share the show with your buddies and rate the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you can. This will give us bigger exposure. All of this helps. Trust me. Just let it happen.
Stop. You can check out our flagship podcast, The Lazy Geeks, where we discuss being a geek in an adulting world, available where you found this one.
And if you want to be a part of the show, hit us up on the comments, questions, or if you have ideas for future episodes, you can go ahead and catch us up on the social media, you know, the Facebook, the Twitter, and the Instagram, all under at The Lazy Geeks, or email us, themailbag@thelazygeeks.com. So that is it for us this week. So until next time, I'm Stephen Vargas.
I'm Adam Riley.
Two to beam up.